All right, hello, hello, Tyler Bryden here for Daily Stand Up 2, Friday. Lots of stuff going on right now, so gonna jump right into it and actually do a quick screen share. I got a couple things I wanna talk about today. One of them, in many people's minds, as Canadians, as Americans, as an entire world, dependent on markets and the economy, and so, you know, lots of talk about interest rate hikes. We've seen a 0.5 prime jump here in Canada at the start of the month, and it looks like more are coming. So more interest rate hikes are on their way. What does this mean? How does this impact housing market, food prices? How does this impact, you know, for myself more specifically, startups, fundraising, valuations? So much impact across the entire world, so many consequences for this. Just for a localized version, something that that I'm tracking here, bought a house in Mississauga in November, so right around here, before this sort of big, big inflated, thing that shouldn't have happened. And now what we're seeing, we were seeing a positive trend on this going, continuing to go up and up. And now obviously with these interest rate, this has changed a lot. There's effects on the stock market yesterday. And, this data is not even, considering these, more aggressive statements on interest rates. So, I mean, this is something that that I'm certainly following as someone who bought a house at a position that, it was, an expensive house already. And against my chagrin, I don't know if that's the right way to say this, took a variable rate, a very low variable rate, mind that, and one that was recommended by several people throughout. But throughout this entire time, I had this gut feeling of, we should take this fixed rate. Why would we take this risk right now? And I think, the thought at the time is this variable rate is so low, you're still going to win out in the long run. But, with some of these changes and with sort of more aggressive, aggressive approach than I think anyone thought, this is the impact of it. So obviously this has an impact on you, impact on me, and something that I'm following. If you have any insight and perspective, we'd love to talk about this. I think overall this is a larger theme of just like fighting against inflation. Exact number, don't know it, but it's like 6% here in Canada, and we've seen like 8% numbers in America here. And this is quite a game that is being played. The markets reacted yesterday to, more talk of interest rates and had a drop there. But overall, no one wants to see this inflation happen. And, I think we're all feeling it as people living day to day, whether it's gas, whether it's food. You can feel that when you're taking out the credit card, taking out the debit card, or nowadays tapping your phone and noticing, hey, my grocery bill has gone from $150 to $300. I'm not exactly sure where this is, it's weird when each product is just like 25 cents more expensive or whatever it is, but that adds up at a lot when you've got a cart and you're also trying to eat healthy and take care of yourself so you can operate at high performance there. So there is, the trend, as I mentioned, something that this is important to me is like, how does this impact startups? How does this impact if you are, depending on, doesn't matter, what stage you're at. If you are a founder and you're trying to raise your first round, what does that look like? If you are a Series A company that raised at a 50 to 100 times revenue multiple in November when it was a very frothy market and money was being thrown around everywhere, you raised at, say, a $80 million valuations, your revenue isn't that strong. Like, you are now trying to avoid having a down round. And if you're burning money quickly, trying to raise in these market conditions when you haven't made significant revenue growth and added ARR, you're going to have a real challenge as people move towards less risky investments. Everyone's been hit by these stock market sort of corrections here. And people are looking like, where's the safest and best place to put my money in a time of uncertainty and volatility? And There is a lot of, you know, investment firms that have raised big funds in this frothy market and have to deploy that capital. But at the same time, the focus on sustainability, on profitability, on lowering burn, increasing your runway, these are all, you know, very acute right now. And if you can't show that top line revenue growth in this market, you're going to not be able to raise at more than $80 million on your next round. You might even have to take a down round. And in the past, that was sort of like a kiss of death. These days, there might be more acceptance of that, but still, a lot of companies are going to shut down, a lot of rounds are going to close, and there's going to be some significant impact on the startup market here and sort of the looseness that has happened based on the capital that was being invested, maybe without some due diligence or maybe without focus on some of these important parts of being a business like sustainability. Profitability. So, recommendation to myself has that I've been given, and that's just that I say is like, yeah, lower your burn, focus on customers, increase your revenue, and try to get to sustainability or low burn or profitability, and really show that you can create value that people are willing to pay for. And obviously, that's an interesting proposition in a time where everyone is trying to figure out the same thing. Like, is it harder to sell right now? Or are you trying to sell solutions that are helping people save money? So these are some of the questions that I think are being asked. And the other sort of impact this has had is that investors are seeing, you know, much lower returns. And I think in Q2, I should have all these resources. I do not. But in Q2, investor exits went down like... The return went down like 80%. There's many companies right now who were on the path to IPO and going public, and because of the market conditions, because of, you know, big percentages being eaten off like well-performing good companies, then, you know, they are no longer able to IPO, so that money is locked up. There's no liquidation available, and they're trying to figure out, when do we go into the market? When do we time this to actually have success? Because there's a lot riding on this. There's been a lot of investment, a lot of work, and these aren't companies in specific, but you look at companies like Canva and Grammarly and some other companies who are sort of waiting to possibly IPO. What do they do? And luckily, some of these companies are doing some really, really good stuff right now. So, other thing was, you know, a big story this week, sort of this Netflix stock, and, you know, sort of showed that they had lost, yeah, closes down 35%, wiping off more than $50 billion from the market cap, lost subscribers. And, you know, for me, the, you know, feeling around this is like, when everyone had Netflix and there wasn't this diversified streaming services, you wanted to have Netflix too. There was this FOMO that was part of it. And now as people churn off Netflix and go to other sources, whether it's Prime or Disney, not CNN Plus, but you know, this FOMO disappears. And I actually think there's now this going to be this, this sounds weird, but this level of sort of coolness, if you could use it as that, to not be on Netflix. So, you know, these have compounding impacts. This is obviously a significant, you know, drop that has happened here. And interested to follow this story. I know this Bill Ackman lost about $400 million on a 3-month position on this. So some people are probably very unhappy right now. You know, another sign of no changes in the market and a lot of volatility. So I'm already at 8 minutes. Wow. A few other things that I'm thinking about and wanted to share. One of the things is this idea of, read this article and I've got to find it, which is like sort of founder salaries. And it tracked the salaries of founders from sort of pre-seed all the way to seed, series A, whatever. And, you know, even had examples of companies who had taken really good salaries versus ones who had not. And that was just a really interesting piece. And this is also, I think, a puzzle or formula that people as founders are trying to put together, where it's just like, there's people who are very emotionally connected to the company that they have, the journey that they're on, but a lot of them are still, they're business people, they're entrepreneurs, and they're trying to play out the best scenarios. And so if you're a founder taking these salary cuts to grow the business and decrease your burn, you know, are you actually optimizing for an outcome that's best for you and for people around you, especially in these market conditions? So this is, I think, a question that's going to be asked. I think this is this time can, while some companies, really good companies, are made in times like this, there's also going to, I believe, stop people from taking risks and maybe going more of a safe bet, taking this, a salary at a company that's well established, that's growing, that has figured out some of these mechanisms and has sort of put together this system in place. And on that note, like, what I was interested in is that obviously there's a lot of technical founders, these people, engineers who are talented, who have run companies or founding companies, they're going to find opportunities. But if you're not a developer, you're not an engineer, where can you go? And so I'll share this link. I just thought this was an interesting article that I follow this guy, and he shared it, and it talked about high-paying roles that don't require you to code. So product managers, data scientists, designers, marketers, UX. And so just an interesting article. And so if you are a founder and you are saying, hey, am I going to take, a $50K to $120K salary, work my butt off, and hope for an outcome, hope that my equity is worth it, knowing that the conditions are the way they are? Or do I want to take a $360K salary plus a $80K signing bonus from Robinhood? That math starts to change a lot. And that's something that's a trend that, or sort of a consequence of all this, that I'm interested in following. And as someone who's obviously invested a lot into a company and a lot of time and energy tracking this as well. So, and sorry, I apologize, I didn't have that shared up on the screen, but you can see that. So that sort of plays out all the different companies and everything here. So really pretty fantastic resource. A lot of research went into this. Pretty interesting sort of piece of information for a lot of people out there, especially the ones who don't code, because we don't all code, but we still have value in this world. And I guess two other last points. I'm going to keep this as tight as I can. For myself right now, one of the things that I'm doing, and it's hard in a tough market, is outreaching to investors. And some of these, I've built relationships over time, but I don't have the network that some people have. And so part of this requires cold outreach, trying to personalize those messages as much as possible. With that, personalization takes time. And then because of, whether external circumstances like market volatility, you don't necessarily have the same frictionless path to investment, especially if you're considered a first-time founder with no exits, all these things. So people are then really optimizing on, I don't know if the word is safer bets, but either safer bets and then also the moonshot bets that they think. And so maybe your business doesn't sit exactly in either one of those camps, and then you're left out to dry. So exploring that, looking for advice for anyone who's successfully built out cold outreach and sold to investors. I have sort of a template or a structure. We'd love to share that, get some feedback if there's any intros or anything, or you just think that there's a better method than what I'm doing now. Am I wasting my time? Or there's a better way? Would love your insight there. And then last, just excited today, there is a Wombo AI, which is a great company here. Let's see if I can pull them up quickly. They are in Toronto, and I think this is really cool what they're doing. They opened up a meetup group, and so they're having a meetup tonight in Toronto. I'm going to be there. Excited about that. Let me see if I can pull up the meetup very quickly so that you can see that. And I just think this is a great, they raised some money, they got an office, and they're sort of celebrating that. And I think that's something that should be done. I think it fosters community, and yes, you can see here the meeting. For some reason, okay, no, that's good. So it is crypto. I have my own skepticisms on this, especially in the market today. But 120 people are there. Eat first, party second, degen last, lots of food. So I think this is great for them to do. Excited for the event tonight. Obviously, looks like it's going to be pretty packed. And anytime you can bring together a community of people who care about this kind of stuff and are all optimizing towards success, I think that's a great way to build your company and build your community, build awareness, and also just make some great friends and connections. So I'm out. Thank you so much for checking this out. If you did, I hope I ended up modulating between positive and negative here with some of the stuff that's happening right now. But again, appreciate this very much. Hope you have a great rest of your day and a great weekend. Thank you.